back to throw. Has time over the middle, intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20, needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time, Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up, deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz, 35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants!
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go! He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants! 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmel.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to join the conversation on this Friday morning before the divisional weekend of the NFL playoffs. Flying solo once again, Lance Meadows still under the weather. Hope to have him back on Monday, but a ton to talk about in the land of the New York Giants and in the world of the National Football League. So let's touch on a few of the things locally first. And if you tuned into WFAN yesterday around 2:20, you heard from Giants co-owner, CEO, and President John Mara talk to Mike Francesa, followed by Jerry Reese talking to Mike Francesa. Not a ton of news broke in those interviews. Jerry Reese did reveal that David Wilson is going to have neck surgery, and the Giants medical staff believes that surgery will fix that herniated disc in his back. It's a vertebrae fusion, as Jerry Reese put it on the air, and they expect him and hope that he will be back next year. But as Jerry Reese said, necks and backs can be tricky, so there's no telling exactly what is going to happen. A couple other pieces of news. John Mara admitted the four names that you've seen mentioned in the paper: Sullivan, Loggins, the quarterback coach for the Green Bay Packers, Ben McAdoo, and the Texans' former quarterbacks coach, DeVell? I'm trying to remember his name. I got to look that up. That's my fault. I'm having a mental block here on the Texans' quarterbacks coach name. But the Giants admit that those are four guys that are interviewing for their coordinator position. But they also said that no, and that's Carl Durrell, I was right, the quarterbacks coach for the Texans coming in to interview for the Giants' offensive coordinator job. And they did say that they will not know probably by the end of the week who that coordinator will be. So the Giants taking their time, trying to do their due diligence in what they're going to do in terms of the coordinator spot. Jerry Reese made the point that Eli Manning has to take accountability for his actions, no doubt about it. More talk about the offensive line needing to be improved. They'd love to have guys like Justin Tuck back, but again, there was an emphasis on the price being right. So all the things we talked about the last week, nothing really that new off of what we talked about last week after their press conferences. So the Giants offseason marches on. They continue to interview for their offensive coordinator spot. And I'm thinking by the end of next week, likely there'll probably be some type of answer in terms of who the Giants offensive coordinator will be for next season. A couple other notes we can touch on over the course of the show. The NFL did announce their 15 Hall of Fame finalists. Not a surprise that Michael Strahan is on that list after just missing induction last year in favor of Warren Sapp. A couple other nominees: Derek Brooks, Tony Dungy, Marvin Harrison, who probably has a very good chance of getting in, Walter Jones, one of the best left tackles I've ever seen, probably an excellent chance of getting into the Hall of Fame. Joining them, Charles Haley, Kevin Green, a couple of pass rushers. Andre Reed still on the ballot, so is Tim Brown. Jerome Bettis on there as a running back. I know he's a lot of big-time numbers he's accumulated. I wouldn't put him in. I think he's a bit of a compiler. John Lynch, the safety. Will Shields, the offensive lineman, who was excellent in his time. So is Aeneas Williams, the cornerback for the Falcons. And then kicker Morton Anderson getting into the final list. Of course, him and Gary, two longtime kickers in the National Football League. And former San Francisco owner Edward DeBartolo Jr. is a guy that was part of that final 15 list as well. And Claude Humphrey and Ray Guy were announced as senior nominees back in August. So we can talk about Strahan's chances of getting in. I think I'm not going to call it a shoo-in, but I think there's a great chance he does get in when they announce the Hall of Famers that weekend before the day before the Super Bowl, on that Saturday morning around 10 o'clock is when they usually do it. And just a heads up to Giant fans, that probably means if Michael Strahan is inducted, that there's an excellent, excellent chance that the Giants will be in the Hall of Fame game next year in the preseason, which means an extra preseason game. That'll put the number at 5. It'll be played in Canton, Ohio, that first weekend of August, I believe. And that means Giants training camp starts a week earlier. So it means less vacation here for us, but more Giants football for you. So we'll see what happens with the schedule once those Hall of Famers are announced, but that is a distinct possibility. If you like, we can also talk about the playoffs this weekend, and you should have, I don't think, quite as close to games as you had last week. That often happens when you have the 1 and 2 seeds coming off of those bye weeks. I think you're going to get better games in the AFC. I think the Chargers will give the Broncos a little bit of a run for their money, though in my opinion, I think the Broncos will do enough offensively against the poorest Chargers defense to win that game. I like Peyton Manning at home. I don't think the weather's supposed to be that bad. I do like the Broncos in that game, but I think the Chargers will play it close. I think the Colts have an excellent chance to beat the New England Patriots. I know it's the Patriots. I know they're at home. I know it's Bill Belichick with a lot of time to prepare. And I don't think the Colts are really that good of a team. I've been saying it all year. They should have won last week. If Kansas City would have stayed healthy on defense in that game, the Chiefs win that football game. But I do not think the Patriots are the type of dominant team they've been in the past, and they have all those injuries. They don't have playmakers on offense. Their running backs have fumbled the football time and time again. Their defense is better, but I think that game is going to go down to the fourth quarter, last couple possessions. In the NFC, I think the Seahawks are going to roll all over the New Orleans Saints. I think that game is going to be ugly in Seattle. Seattle simply too good at home. The Saints already went there once this year, got destroyed. I could see that happening again. I don't think that game is going to be close. There's a reason. Let me put it this way. There's a reason they made that game the early game on Saturday, which is often the lowest rated game of all four. So look at it that way. The other game, however, I think will probably be the best game of the weekend, and that's San Francisco and Carolina. The Niners on the road came in, I believe, as a 1-point favorite in that game, and I think it speaks to how close the game is going to be. It's going to be a grinded-out game. If you're looking for a lot of passes down the field, a lot of free-flowing offense, you're not going to get it. There's going to be a lot of punts. There's going to be a lot of running. There's going to be some third and longs. There's going to be some inaccurate throws from both quarterbacks, though I think Cam Newton, a far better quarterback at this point in his career than Colin Kaepernick. And whichever team in that game, and I'm going to go back to that Giants and 49ers NFC Championship game a couple years ago, whichever team makes the fewest mistakes in that game, whichever team doesn't put their defense in a bad spot deep in their own territory, or the offense doesn't turn it over deep in their end, that is the team that's going to win that game. I look forward to it. It's going to be a very, very good football game. Teams are going to grind it out. It's going to be tough. It's going to be physical, and it's going to be fun. So all of that and more on the table if you want to talk today about the New York Giants or the National Football League. Michael Eisen will join us for a little bit later on in the show. And, of course, we are calls on Twitter and on the phones. 201-939-4513. Let's go to our very busy phone and say hello to Antoine in Atlanta. Antoine, what's going on, pal?
Okay, I have three questions.
Sure, what do you got, Antoine?
Okay, my first question is Do you think the Giants need a corner to go alongside Prince? I know they'll probably re-sign Terrell Thomas and Tremaine Robert. Do you think they could pick up another corner from the draft for free agency to go alongside Prince?
I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't also be shocked if they brought back Aaron Ross in a veteran backup type of role. That would not shock me, much of the dismay of Mike Farmer on Twitter, who is not a fan. But, yes, I do believe they'll bring in a more established cornerback, whether it's in the draft or in free agency. I believe the Giants will make additions at corner to try to shore up that secondary, and they need to. Terrell Thomas can't play every down, and Tremaine McBride, despite the fact he flashed a little bit the last half of the year, I don't think you can go into next year depending on him as a starter.
Okay. My second question is, I was reading an article about 3 weeks ago. It was about a possible return of Mario Manningham to the Giants in 2014. I just want to get your take on that.
I mean, I think the Giants would consider it, to be quite honest with you. I think it's something they'll talk about. But to me, Mario Manningham is a guy that's dealing with a very serious knee injury. He's a guy that signed with the San Francisco 49ers a couple years ago. He got placed on injury reserve at the end of the year. Couldn't get back from that knee injury. And he is a free agent after the year. He's been with them for two seasons. He has signed a two-year, $7.3 million contract with the 49ers. I mean, if you want to bring in Manningham as a flyer and say, look, maybe your knee's okay, maybe you can help us as a wide receiver, that's great. But it depends on the price, for one, Antoine. And number two, I think you have to worry about fit. Is there a place for him to play here next year? If you're already giving playing time to Cruz, you're already giving playing time to Jarrell Jernigan, and you want to give Ruben Randall some more run, I'm not sure if there's a big role there for Manningham. And that's assuming Nix doesn't come back. If Nix does come back, which I don't think is going to happen, but if it does, there's certainly no room for Manningham on this roster.
Okay. My last question is, do you think Scott Chandler from the Buffalo Bills tight end, do you think he would be a good pickup for the Giants?
You know what? I think Chandler would be a pretty decent fit. He's a good blocker. He's been here before in Giants training camp. He's a big guy. He has a decent feel for what the Giants do because he was here as a young player and eventually let go. But I think Chandler would be a guy you could bring in. He's a two-way player. Do I think he's your long-term answer at tight end? I do not. But do I think he can be a decent stopgap where you say, all right, we didn't find the right guy in the draft. We didn't find the right guy in free agency. We can roll him out there for a season. You know, he can catch 40 to 45 passes and you roll the dice. Sure, you could pull something like that out of your hat of tricks if you want to. But I would prefer to find a more long-term, serious, upper echelon tight end either in the draft or in free agency to finally fill that position.
Okay. Thanks for answering my question.
Thanks, Antoine. Appreciate it. Antoine always brings the consistency to start these shows in the offseason. Like, we haven't heard from Antoine much in the regular season. Since the season's been over, bam, Antoine, three questions. Go! It's a good way to start the show. Get the juices flowing. I like it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Frankie down in Virginia Beach. Frankie, is it warming up down there finally for you guys?
Yeah, it's getting a little bit warm here. Not too bad. I mean, it's still in the 30s. My question is this, John. Going forward in the next season, what are we looking at as far as linebackers go? John Beeson was a great addition, added a lot of fire back there, gave a lot of passion to the defensive end. But I think we need to get some guys in there that can play, you know, that can rush the passer or cover a good tight end coming out the backfield. So, you know, my question is, you know, there's a lot of good linebackers in the first round. You know, I know we got the number 12 pick. So what are they thinking as far as going forward is getting a solid linebacker in there?
Hey, well, you're right, Frankie. They need to do a lot of work at that position because even if John Beeson does come back and is a free agent, who are your other two starters? I don't think Jaquan Williams has done enough where you could hand him a starting job. Spencer Paysinger and Mark Herzlich are both restricted free agents. Paysinger's shown he can be a average linebacker in this league, but I think you want to shoot for a little bit better than that. Herzlich is a good special teamer. I don't think he's a starter in this league either. So you might have to look into bringing in three new players to start a linebacker next season. And I think the draft is an option. Now, the Giants haven't picked a linebacker in the first round of the NFL draft in a very, very long time. So I wouldn't bet on that. But you're right. There are a bunch of guys that are being projected at this time. Again, it's very early to go in the first round of the draft. And if they think there's an impact linebacker there when they select, that's one of the best players left on their board, I think they'll consider taking him. But you're right. That linebacker position still needs to be addressed, even if they bring back John Beeson.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed we got a couple of guys coming out of UCLA, and, you know, I've just seen, you know, kind of Mel Kiper's draft board, and I know definitely we're hurting at that position. I heard earlier a call talking about secondary. Definitely need, I think we need, I'd like to see us go with some big corners similar to what Seattle has, you know, because we see a lot of big receivers in the league in general. We need some guys that can cover. You know, I do, of course, I love Stevie Brown. Tremaine McBride did show some promise. But do you see Corey Webster returning or any of those guys? I just think we can upgrade there. I think he's a little bit past his prime.
Yeah, I can't imagine Corey Webster coming back after a year where he couldn't get on the football field. I personally have the opinion that his time here is done. We'll see if that's actually the case, but I don't think Corey Webster will be back here with the New York Giants. And you're right, I think you need to add one big cornerback that can start across the field from Prince and Mukamara, to shore up that secondary. I'm 100% on board with you there.
All right. Well, that's all I have there, John. I appreciate all the commentary.
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate you giving us a call. Have a good one, man. Enjoy Virginia Beach. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Tim in Orlando. Tim, what's going on, bud?
Hey, how you doing, John?
Doing well, Tim. What's on your mind this morning? Good morning.
Good morning to you. I just saw, while I was on Twitter, and I saw you guys were doing a call in today, so I called in because what I noticed about the roster this year was that when we tried to go back to power running and bringing in Peyton Hillis and bringing in Brandon Jacobs and then getting a big back like Andre Brown back, or, you know, and then we started to win. And every time the Giants have won, Otis Anderson, Ahmad Bradshaw was a tough power runner, and then you had Brandon Jacobs when he was in his prime. I think the Giants need to address power running. It's our play style. It's always been ball control. It's the weather we got to deal with. It's the tough division games we deal with. You know, power running controls the clock. When everybody's trying to throw the ball left and right and up and down, and you can't touch a receiver or breathe on him or anything, it's power running is a great thing to have. And we've always had it, and when we had it this year, we started to win.
Now, Tim, I think you're right, and a lot of people talk about the offensive line in terms of protecting the quarterback, but I think you also want to see offensive line improvement in terms of getting some push in that running game, and you're right. For that short period of time between that Minnesota game and that Green Bay game, the Giants did run the ball a lot more consistently, but then the last four or five games, it kind of disappeared again. But you're right, when the Giants were winning, it's when they had that balance and they're able to run the football, and that's why in this offseason what the Giants are going to try and do is rebuild the interior of that offensive line to try to get that power running game back, to get some of those tough blue-collar offensive linemen that want to do the dirty work, that are maulers, that are strong, that'll push you around. Those are the type of guys I think they're going to try to add on the offensive line to get that running game going next year.
Do you see any backs, though, either at a free agency or the draft, that are big backs that you think would be great additions that they could get?
Honestly, I would not leave this Giants offensive running back position, to the draft. I think you already have a big-time risk in David Wilson coming off this back/neck surgery. You have a guy like Andre Brown that has had no history of staying healthy. I would like to bring in a more established back here that you think can carry the load and has done it before. People have mentioned Ben Tate. I think he's a guy you look at depending on how much money he's going to get. Rashad Jennings, a guy that's a free agent. I think he's somebody you take a look at depending on what his price tag is going to be. Maybe the Saints let Mark Ingram go. Maybe that's somebody you can take a peek at to bring in, though he's had trouble staying healthy too. I'm more apt, in my opinion, to go after somebody in free agency that you know is comfortable in the NFL game, can pass protect, something else that they need out of the running back position, and help give some veteran leadership and reliability next to Brown and Wilson.
It'd be great if Marcel Reese became a free agent.
Marcel Reese is one of those weird converted running backs, converted wide receivers, rather. He's like a fullback that runs a 4.3.
Yeah, no, I saw that game where he took off, and then, you know, he's got great hands, but he's big. So, he'd be great.
Not sure he's a primary ball carrier, though. I appreciate the call, Tim.
Thank you very much, John. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Thanks for calling in. Of course, Big Blue Kickoff is on every morning at 9:30 on Giants.com. Make sure you tune in. Let's stick on our phones at 201-939-4513. One of our regulars is Roldy in Bayshore, Long Island. Roldy, good morning.
Good morning, John. Hey, just wondering, seeing how's Lance doing so far. Is he all right? So, getting better?
I think Lance is hanging out with Tyson Chandler. He's got some kind of upper respiratory infection that he simply can't beat.
Oh, man. Hope he feels better, man. But I know you were saying that you the Giants need to go after, you know, one a blue-collar, you know, offensive lineman. I mean, who do you think in free agency, and I know that's tons of them, that you would consider as a blue-collar, you know, offensive lineman? Do you think John Asamoah from the Kansas City Chiefs, or Eugene Monroe, or guys like Eugene Monroe? I mean, who do you see as a blue-collar offensive lineman that will fit perfect with the Giants that's a free agent?
Well, I'm going to bring up the list here. I know one guy that comes to mind who's probably going to cost
Mack.
A lot is Alex Mack from Cleveland, the center. That's one guy that automatically comes to mind. Let me take a look here at some of these other free agent offensive linemen. I mean, I know there are a couple of tackles that are available. A guy like Brandon Albert is around, but as an offensive tackle, that's certainly has had a lot of success in this league. Albert's going to be one of those guys that wants a very, very big contract. Wade Smith, a guard from the Texans, is a guy that's been a successful interior offensive lineman, though. Running that zone running scheme, that necessarily isn't one of those, you know, big mauler types. He's more of a guy that can move and pull and things of that nature. Eugene Monroe, another offensive tackle. Michael Orr,
that's
tackle.
What I like, yeah.
Jared Valdir, an offensive tackle. See, I'm more apt to look at guards because to me in free agency, unless you're talking
that's
about
true.
A Carl Nix type of player who got that big contract with the Tampa Bay Bucks in the offseason, you can find a starting caliber good offensive guard in free agency and not break the bank to bring him in. I haven't done a great job of looking at who's going to be out there yet. We're still, 2 months away from free agency. It starts the second week of March, so we have a lot of time on this. But trust me, the Giants pro personnel department will have a long list of guys for Jerry Reese to look at in terms of big, strong, blue-collar type of offensive lineman that'll be available. Remember, guys are going to get cut, too, for salary cap reasons in the next couple months. So some guys might become available that we don't even expect. There will be guys to be had, and the Giants pro personnel department will give Jerry Reese a ton of options.
Now, as far as the offensive coordinator, you know, I know we're interviewing Mike Sullivan, you know, the guy, the quarterback's coach of Green Bay, Ben McAdoo, and the guy from Tennessee.
Carl Durrell.
You know, but, you know, I kind of agree with the writer you was talking to yesterday. I don't know his name, Ralph or something?
Yeah, Ralph Vacchiano from the New York Daily News.
You know, like he was saying that you know, the offensive plan that Gilbride had, you know, worked. It's just, you know, the guys have to execute it. And then at the end of the day, you know, do we really want to get a new offensive coordinator at this stage of, you know, Eli Manning's career to start learning something new? You know, and I agree with what he said yesterday, that offense does work if you execute it right. And in my gut feeling, I feel like they are going to land, you know, Mike Sullivan, which is, you know, not going to be a bad move. I just want the Giants fans to take a deep breath and know that this offense can work. It's just, you know, if the guys can execute it, it'll be working to perfection. And having a new voice in would probably help out, you know. And Tom Coughlin, like, I don't know how many years he has left, but I'm sure he's not going to want to, you know, change up too much of his offensive game plan. But, you know, I just wanted to make it short and simple. And, you know, I just want every Giants fan to realize, like, at this stage of Eli Manning's career, do we really want to go through what Ben Roethlisberger has been going through? I mean, right, granted, he's getting along with his offensive coordinator right now.
Finally.
But in the beginning of the season, I mean, how crazy was that team, that offensive team was going between Ben Roethlisberger and the offensive coordinator? I know Eli Manning is a different type of guy. He won't cause friction. But at the same time, you don't want to mess up this guy, you know, at this stage of his career. And Mike Sullivan, to be honest with you, I would be very happy if we got him. And I feel in my gut feeling that we're going to land him. I just want the Giants fans to know this and realize we don't need to change up tremendously on the game plan. Maybe a little bit, but not tremendously.
Roll the
thank you, John,
to the
and
call.
I hope Lance feels good.
All right, I will pass on your good wishes to Mr. Meadow, though. I'm sure he's out cold right now in his palatial apartment on the west side. You know, that's why I think Lance decided to not come in the rest of the week. I told him I was going to tease him and bring up, talk about his new apartment and everything, and he got nervous and he bailed. Couldn't handle the heat, so he got out of the kitchen. That's what I think really went down. As to Roldy's points, and I've honestly gone a little bit back and forth about this whole offensive coordinator search, and I feel like I've landed somewhere in the middle. As everyone knows, I've been a big defender of Kevin Gilbride. I think the offensive system, much like Roldy said, wasn't as big of a problem as the personnel. So hiring Mike Sullivan, in my opinion, would not be a disaster. That being said, with Kevin Gilbride's retirement, I think it does provide an opportunity to change some things in this offense. And here's the real trick. There are two things you need to look at here. Number one, how much longer is Tom Coughlin going to be your head coach? And nobody seems to know the answer to that, even the Giants' own head coach, Tom Coughlin. Because if he's only going to coach for one or two more years, do you want to implement the brand new system now and then have to implement another brand new one in a couple years when he retires? So that's number one. And I think that's something that right now is impossible to judge. So it's really just speculation. The second thing you got to wonder about is, regardless of who the Giants bring in as their offensive coordinator, how much is Tom Coughlin going to insist that his offensive system is maintained in some way or form and retained in whatever the new offensive coordinator and play caller wants to do? And I'm not sure we know the answer to that question either. So I'm going to take a little bit of a middle ground here and think no matter who comes in, the system's not going to change ridiculously one way or the other. So if that's the case, and in my gut, I believe that is the case, because Tom Coughlin, you know, is an offensive coach, and he's going to want a hand in what goes on that side of the ball, especially bringing in somebody new. If it's somebody not as experienced as Kevin Gilbride, who I think Tom Coughlin really trusts to handle that offense completely. I think if you bring in somebody from a little bit of a different system, bring some fresh play-calling ideas, maybe adds a couple little things here or there, a couple adjustments, a couple of tweaks to bring some new concepts to what the Giants already do to change what teams have seen on tape, to switch things up just a little bit, to confuse defenses a bit. And, you know, a lot of times when you have these coordinator changes, it takes other teams a good 8 weeks to figure out what you're doing. And all of a sudden you're 6-2 and you're off to a great start and you're going to make the playoffs regardless. So there is some value in that. All that being said, I would bring in a younger guy that has more upside like McAdoo. Though if they brought in Sullivan, I wouldn't be completely upset about that either. Because I think in Tampa, being on his own for 2 years, having a couple different quarterbacks, he's also probably developed some tweaks and different ideas for this offense too. So I think even if Sullivan comes back, you have a different play caller. You have a guy that's going to have some new ideas to do things a little bit differently. Has worked with Eli Manning before, and Eli has had one of his best seasons of his career. And frankly, one of the best seasons for a quarterback in Giants history, probably the best, under Mike Sullivan when he was the quarterback's coach. So I don't think it's necessarily bad for Sullivan to be back either. I think the Giants are doing a good job bringing all these different guys in, getting their ideas, and I think you hire the best man for the job. Whoever you think will do the job best, regardless of system, that's who you hire. Tom Coughlin's still here. Eli is still here. They'll figure out a way to make it work. Is that a definitive answer for you guys? No. And I'm sorry for that. And I'm honestly on the fence about it because I see it both ways. I really do. I get the fans that want a big-time change and want a completely new system. I just don't think you're going to see all Tom Coughlin's principles be obliterated. Realistically, I don't think that's going to happen. And I also see the fans that like the continuity, like Mike Sullivan having coached Eli Manning. You want to bring him back, get Eli back on the right page. Maybe Tom's gone a couple years if he retires. You don't want to change offensive systems so many times in 2 or 3 years, so you want to have more continuity. I get that too. I get both sides of the argument. I really do. 201-939-4513. This allows me to play devil's advocate no matter who calls in, which is always fun. Let's go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's going on, pal?
Hi. What? Nothing. I got a question for you. Will the Giants hire Mike Sullivan to be their new offensive coordinator, replacing Kevin Gilbride, who retired on January 2nd?
Well, you know what, Tim? I'm honestly not sure, and I just touched on all the reasons, and thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. I think Gilbride was a fantastic offensive coordinator. I think his system works if you have the right personnel. That being said, if you want to make the argument that in this system with Tom Coughlin and with this quarterback, opposing teams and coordinators have seen so much film on the Giants that it's made it a little bit easier to prepare for them, I'll buy that argument. I think there's something to be said about that. And sometimes change for the sake of change is a good thing. And I think really that's what's weighing on Tom Coughlin and on Jerry Reese right now. How much change do you want? How much change is good? Do you get to the point where too much change hurts you? My gut tells me that Sullivan right now is probably the leader in the clubhouse just because of his, you know, the loyalty factor, and he's a known quantity in the building, and no one has a bad word to say about the guy as a man or as a coach. He's really a tremendous human being, very good guy. So I think he's probably the leader in the clubhouse just because that's how the Giants work. But I really think they have an open mind here. Why else would you bring in all these different guys to talk to? I think the Giants are being very open about this, and I think they're figuring out the process as they go along. 201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning. Rashad Jennings, of all the great running backs we faced last year, and we faced some really terrific,
I like them.
Terrific running backs, nobody attacked the line of scrimmage. Nobody attacked the line of scrimmage better than Rashad Jennings.
And Rashad Jennings did it, by the way, without a threat of throwing the ball at quarterback, which makes it even more impressive.
He is one tough son of a gun, and I tell you, I'd like to put the ball in his hands in late November and December in some of these cold weather cities. I think we need to look long and hard. Now, if you look back at the yardage, and I don't remember what he gained, it's probably not going to be, you know, spectacular. It's not going to be 140 yards.
I think he was about 4.2 yards a carry, and I think he gained about 89 or 90 yards against the Giants in that game. But he actually ran the ball better than any running back had in about 6 or 7 weeks.
Absolutely. And what I liked about it was the way he attacked the line of scrimmage. There was no hesitation. And he was breaking tackles at the line of scrimmage. I think he'd be a good back to peak, you know, to bring in along with Andre, and hopefully we get David Wilson back. I think that would be good. Offensive coordinator. I know we talked about this, or I talked about it earlier in the week. Whoever we bring in, I think Eli has got to be a critical element of this scheme.
Of course,
sitting down and philosophizing about what this scheme should be. It's got to fit his talents. I mean, we saw what happened last year when we tried to overcome the weaknesses on the offensive line, and Eli went to 3 and 5 step drops instead of 5 to 7 step drops. And he was completing some passes, but the defense reacted differently. They came up and jammed the wide receivers, forcing stuff inside, doubled Victor. It's got to be built around Eli. And Eli's got to have an integral part in putting this whole thing together.
Well, Len, I have a question for you. Do you think it's enough to fix this offense to just change the guy calling the plays and the voice in the headset, or do you think you need a completely different system? Is it enough to help Eli and this offense just to have a different play caller and a small tweak, or do you need a much bigger change than that?
I think if we put this offense together around Eli's strengths, I think it is enough. I think it is enough. But I think he's got to have an integral voice in this. I mean, you can't start putting together a scheme that doesn't fit Eli. If you want to do that, John, if you want to do that, change the quarterbacks. We're paying this guy $20 million the next 4 years. I mean, this thing is all about Eli. Make no mistake. And if indeed we're not rebuilding, just re-engineering things here a little bit, restructuring things a little bit, then we have to revolve it all around Eli. I mean, that's the key. If we're not going to do that, then we're paying the quarterback far, far more money than we should be paying. And that's not a knock on Eli. It's not a knock on Eli. I'm just suggesting if you want a different system that isn't going to play to Eli, I think it's about Eli. Can I go to the draft for a minute?
Yeah, sure, Len.
Okay. I don't care who we pick at 12, 44, and 76. We get 3 picks in the first 76, okay? And if Mr. Mara is correct in saying that we can turn this around in 1 year between draft and free agencies, whoever we pick at 12, John, I want to hear Jerry stand up there after the pick is made, you know, the press conference, that people are shooting questions at him about whoever it is that we pick. And
right.
I don't care who it is. I mean, I think there are enough holes. So you want to go linebacker, you want to go corner, you want to go offensive lineman, you want to go running. I mean, we got problems, okay? And we're going to try to – and if Mr. Mara is right and says that we can turn this around in 1 year, here's what I want to hear Jerry say. I want to hear him say, guys, pencil Lou Smith – I'm making up the name, obviously – pencil Lou Smith in as the starter at the following position. And I want to hear him say, on day one, whoever we pick, John, has got to be – this is the 12th pick in the draft.
No, you're right.
Now, listen, how would we feel if we pick a linebacker, a position of need, and on opening day, Paysinger and Rivers are the linebackers? By the way, I'm a fan of Rivers. I'd like to see Rivers come back. I think he contributed to the overall run defense in a very positive way. But cornerback, how would we like to pick a cornerback at 44, and this is no knock on Trumaine McBride, but we pick a cornerback at 44, and Trumaine McBride is our starting quarterback on opening. John, we got to pick three guys here. Once you get past the third round, I understand. But if Mr. Mara is correct, and we can turn this around, Jerry's got to find us three pencil-them-in guys. Guys who can go with – We can't come back and try to get to 10 wins by picking a linebacker and starting Paysinger.
No, I agree.
And for me, I wouldn't lean toward linebacker. I'd go somewhere else because I think the linebackers we have, I think we can get away for another year.
I think you're right, Len.
Particularly with Beeson.
When you're picking 12th and you're picking 43rd, or I'm not sure how many supplemental picks they're going to be 44. At the end of round one. So, you know, in the mid-40s.
Yeah.
To me, you need to get two starters. Bottom line.
I don't want to hear Jerry say, you know, there's a little time in the weight room, you know. And here's the way I think you go at it, John. You look at this would be my philosophy. I want a senior. I want a guy who's played 4 years. I want a guy whose best year wasn't sophomore year. I want a guy who comes out. I don't want to hear about, you know, the knee injury in junior year where he missed 8 games, okay? I don't want to hear this guy first came on our radar because we were scouting somebody else, and we saw this guy, and we've been looking at him since sophomore year, but sophomore year was his best year, right? You need a left tackle, John? Draft a left tackle. You need a linebacker who's played – in a 4-3, draft the guy who's played in a 4-3 in college. And go with big-time colleges and universities. And guys who have played for, you know, played for 4 years. Junior eligibles are great. I think they're pushing guys down in the draft to us. Guys are going to be dropping to us. But I'm not a big at 12. Coming up with a junior eligible.
No, Len, I agree with you 100%, man. Thanks for the call as always, bud.
Okay, take care.
Thank you, bud. 201-939-4513. We'll get to your calls in just a second. But one man we haven't talked to yet this offseason, and it's a damn shame we haven't, because no one has better Giants knowledge or insight than this guy, and that's Michael Eisen. Michael, good morning. How you been, buddy?
Okay, John. My goodness, you're enthusiastic.
Well, let me get your take on this first. Obviously, a lot of names in the paper, and John Mara basically on Mike Francesa yesterday came out and said, the names in the paper are right. These are the guys coming in to interview for the Giants offensive coordinator job. Overall strategy here, do you think the Giants are looking for a guy that's going to tweak what Tom Coughlin's done here in the past, or are we looking for something that's more of a bigger sea change that's going to change the system fundamentally?
I think listening to John Mara, reading between the lines, I think that he's looking for more of a fundamental change, system change. That's what I get from both the news conference that he held on December 30th, the day after the season, and then his lengthy radio interview yesterday. So it just seems to me like he just wants a system change, so to speak.
Yeah, I tend to think the same, and taking a look at what the Giants have done here in the past, I don't think Tom Coughlin and what he's done on offense over the course of his NFL life is going to be erased completely, but I do think it's a good idea to take what he has, and then if you add, you know, some of the tenets from a successful system like they ran in Houston, which comes from the Mike Shanahan tree, or what they do in Green Bay from the Mike McCarthy tree, could give enough change to really confuse defenses next year and give Eli Manning a bit of a fresh start.
Yeah, I think so. I think no question the offense needs some enlivening, some new concepts, some new ideas. Just the same old. I don't think it didn't work this year. I mean, obviously a lot of it was due to injuries and that sort of thing. But I just think that, you know, you look at what teams are doing around the league now. There's so many different new concepts, plays, teams trying different formations and things, and I just think the Giants need to kind of join the group.
Now, John Mara's talked about this. A lot of our callers have asked about this, too. There's some concern that if you change offensive systems now, and then let's say Tom Coughlin decides to announce his retirement a year or two, then you're changing systems two or three times in a span of 3 years. Is that much of a concern, or can you not look ahead that far?
I don't think you look ahead that far. The NFL is such a year-to-year proposition. It's silly to go into the 2014 season worrying about what might happen in 2015, 2016. Giants need to fix what's wrong for 2014. It's like, you know, Bill Parcells used to have a saying, in the NFL, you worry about this week, you worry about next week, next week. Well, on a larger scale, worry about this year, worry about next year after this coming season. Let's play the upcoming season first.
And one thing John Mara did say yesterday with Mike Frances is that he has no doubt that in the NFL and the way it is, with some additions in personnel, some maybe changes in scheme, the Giants can be right back competing for a Super Bowl again next year. That's how the NFL works these days.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he said it several times, and really, you just look around the league, it doesn't have to be said by John Mara. The number of teams that go from worst to first. I mean, every year the NFL sends out this list of teams that made the playoffs that didn't make the prior year, and there's always five or six teams on there. I mean, it happens every season. So, there's no reason that the Giants can't be back on top or in the playoffs next year.
Heck, the Panthers were terrible last year. Look, they had a bye week this week in the playoffs. Last year, the Redskins won the NFC East. They were the second worst team in the league. The Eagles had the opposite flip. And next year, I think a team like the Rams could be a team like that. They have the Redskins pick the second pick in the draft. They had a good second half of the year. Of course, the Giants had them on their schedule, have to travel to St. Louis. But it does happen every single year where you could really make a big jump from season to season.
Absolutely. And, you know, usually there's a team that no one expects, either goes way up or way down. I mean, I don't think anyone expected the Houston Texans to finish 2-14 prior to the season, especially when they started the season 2-0. So, yeah, the NFL, the fortunes of teams in the NFL is constantly changing. But yeah, if you're going to be one of those teams that's going to improve, you got to work to do it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Giants have a lot of work to do in the offseason. We talked about the coordinator very quickly, Mike, on personnel stuff. Obviously, everyone's made the point that offensive line has to get better for next season. Do you see that happening more in free agency, or do you see happening more in the draft?
Well, I think the offensive line is going to have to bring in a couple of veterans. I just don't see. I don't think they're going to spend their first three draft choices on offensive linemen and expect them all to step in and play. So I think by necessity, it has to be. They're going to have to sign one or two free agents. On the other hand, I certainly would almost expect them, assuming there's a grade there that's viable at that point, to spend their first, the 12th pick of the draft on an offensive lineman.
And just want to touch on the two tackles, the two guys that are under contract and I think expect to be starters next year. Will Beatty, assuming he comes back from that leg injury, and you have Justin Pugh on the right side. Do you expect them both to be starters at tackle in their current positions, or do you think the Giants would be open to either moving Pugh inside or perhaps moving Will Beatty to the right side?
Well, I certainly think they're open to Pugh moving. Somebody said, I guess it was John yesterday or somebody, Jerry, that he could spend.
I think Jerry said it, yeah.
Jerry, he could play any of the five, positions, and I know that, Pugh is not an overly big tackle. I know that Coach Coughlin likes big offensive lineman. I mean, Pugh did have a very good rookie year. He is a good player, but he's not a huge player. He might be better off inside. So I think of the two, I think the player most likely to move would be Justin Pugh.
One of the reasons the Giants loved that big tackle out of Alabama so much last year on the right side, Fluker, who's just a monster of a human being. Running back, very quickly. I know the Giants, obviously a lot of question marks next year. Andre Brown's a free agent. David Wilson, Jerry's making the news. He's going to have surgery, try to come back. But, obviously, guys, you can't necessarily depend on. Do you think they'll correct the mistake they made last year and make a move for a veteran running back in free agency that can carry the load a little bit?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd call it a mistake that they didn't sign one last year. I mean, no one knew that David Wilson had this neck problem.
That's true.
And I don't think they anticipated Andre Brown breaking his leg again. So I wouldn't call it a mistake. Do I think they'll sign a veteran running back in free agency? Yeah, I do. But again, it's like, you don't really a lot of teams don't draft running backs in the first round anymore because there's so many out there, and you can, history shows you can get a really good running back later. And I don't think they're going to overspend for a running back. I think, on the list of priorities, I don't think or where you spend your money, I don't think running back is going to be high on the list. Yes, I think they're going to sign a veteran. I don't think it's going to be a big-name type guy.
Where do you think tight end is on that list of priorities?
After listening to Jerry Reese yesterday, I think it's pretty high, quite frankly. you know, obviously offensive line is number one. You know, look, to Coach Coughlin, it's always offensive line, defensive line. You know, you win with big people. He always talks about big people. But I think tight end is going to be pretty high for a couple of reasons. They need a better blocker there to help the offensive line and get the running game going again. And they just didn't get the receiving production out of the position that they normally get.
Last question on personnel on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of free agents. Tuck, Beeson, Linval Joseph, Terrell Thomas, big names. How many of those guys do you think the Giants are going to bring back? I know they want these guys back, but I guess it's a matter of whether or not they get big contract offers from elsewhere.
Well, it's also a matter of you know, how many can you fit under your budget,
right.
You know, they certainly want Justin Tuck back, but they're not going to overpay for Justin Tuck. He's going into, I think, his 10th year. You know, Linval Joseph, is one of the toughest decisions they have to make.
I agree.
You know, he's a solid player, obviously not a spectacular player. He kind of makes two or three plays every game. You say, oh, good, you know, he made a good play there. But, you know, is he a guy you overpay for? I don't think so. You know, Beeson's contributions were, you know, undeniable. He came in and really solidified and improved the defense. But he has an injury history. He's been around a while. He's not the biggest guy in the world.
Not the fastest guy in coverage either.
So, yeah. So I think, you know, as long as they agree to come back for, I don't want to say modest contracts, but contracts that are not over the top, then I think some of them will be back, sure.
As someone who has a finger on the pulse of NFL writers throughout the country, chances Strahan's part of the Hall of Fame class this year?
I think it's very good. I mean, I know a lot of people thought he was going to get in last year. They were surprised he did not get in last year. I think a lot of people will be very surprised if he's not elected this year. He's certainly deserving. He's still, you know, 6 years after he retired, he's still fifth all-time in career sacks.
Well, taking that next step, chances the Giants play in the Hall of Fame game next year in Canton, Ohio.
Unfortunately, I think they're very good. We got out of it last year.
We tried to avoid it for years.
When Parcells got in, and, yeah, I would imagine if Strahan is elected to the Hall of Fame, that will be in Canton. Early August.
And you sound thrilled about that.
It's a short flight.
Michael, we appreciate the time, my friend. We'll talk to you as we go along in the offseason. That's Michael Eisen joining us on Giants.com. Great insight, as always. 201-939-4513. I got four calls in the line. Let's get right to them before we wrap up this little puppy. We thank Mike for joining us, and let's start with Victor in Texas, who waited patiently. Victor, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning. How you doing? Hey, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Michael Strahan. Congratulations on being a finalist. I'm just going to get right into it, John. I didn't call in yesterday, but I caught it on Giants Online, and I listened to Ralph Vacchiano. And, you know, I respect his writing sometimes, but Ralph Vacchiano, to me, he convolutes a message to fans based on the premise of change and how Eli, if he is resistant to change. I mean, Ernie, of course, he went out and got this guy for what? Having a great mind, coming from a great pedigree, and being able to throw the long ball and being able to make decisions, right? Eli Manning can learn a new offense. It's not going to kill him to learn a new offense. And what kills me about that is, you know, you got the beat writers like Ralph, and it seems like they're saying, Eli, he's not smart enough to learn it. You paying this guy $20 million, plus he comes from a pedigree. I mean, his father, his brother, many of quarterbacks have done it, naming his brother. And look at Phillip Rivers. Look at the good it has it brought out in Phillip Rivers' game.
Well, Victor, I don't think Victor, it's a matter of them not thinking he's capable of learning it. I think they're just pointing out, and I understand the point to a certain extent, is that you don't know how Eli Manning will play in a new system. If anything, and you have to admit that it is, it's an unknown. We don't know how he will react in a new system.
Well, exactly. And I bring up the same thing you brought up, John. I was thinking it. I wanted to jump out when you said it. Okay. Let's look at Tom Coughlin's span as a coach. All right, what if he decides to retire next year? Then we have to institute a new offense, because guess what? You're going to get a new head coach. Or let's just say if a coach in waiting is going to be our defensive coordinator, Perry Fuel, he might not want that same offense. So you're going to have something implemented anyway. So Tom Coughlin, in a sense, he's got a hold on our change, possibly change to a different offense. So we got to look at that. But one thing I don't want everybody to understand is that or to think is that Eli is not a smart guy. I mean, the guy, Ernie Accorsi, I mean, we gave up so much to get him. He can learn a new offense. And before I go, I just want to talk about the draft. I like the tackle from Michigan, LaJuan. And if we get him, I think that's a great bookend for Eli. Because we definitely, and I do agree with Ralph with that, we have to bolster up that offensive line. If we don't do anything in offensive line, offense, new offense, old offense, anything is going to, you know, it's still going to be the same thing. And I just don't want us to come into next year thinking that, you know, what we could have done instead of what we've, you know, we've been doing. Don't be so reluctant to change. And one last thing, to get comfortable, sometimes people have to be uncomfortable. I mean, if you kind of understand that.
No,
you know,
I do.
We got to – yeah, Eli has to have some type of adversity, and that team has to go through it. The Giants been through so much. Changing in a little offensive style, a tweaking here and there, is not going to kill our organization.
I'm with you, Victor.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for the call, as always, my friend. Have a great weekend. We appreciate you chiming in. And I agree with almost everything Victor said there. I think he's right on the button. I think when you say to get people comfortable, you have to make them uncomfortable. I think to make somebody truly great sometimes, you have to make them uncomfortable. And you challenge them. You say, look, we want you to learn something new. We want you to get better by doing this. And a lot of times, guys are better players because of it. And I think you could put that into the equation when you're asking Eli to learn a new system as well. 201-939-4513. Anthony's down in South Florida. Anthony, good morning. How you doing?
All right, John. How's it going today?
Everything's going well, my friend. How about yourself?
All right, not too bad. You know, away from the snow, but I miss it.
I would like to be in South Florida with you right now, Anthony, so let me put it that way.
I mean, but we got, like, flooded out last night, you know.
Oh, that's not good.
No. But love the show. Love what you guys are doing. Just want to talk about the offense and kind of the inconsistencies the Giants have had over the years.
Sure.
I know you mentioned before how they've been in the top 10 of the offenses, but when we look at the body of work that they've really put over the years, we've had to make a lot of comebacks towards the end of the game because of the game plan that we run early. You know, we come out there with the formations of 1-2 receivers, even though we know our offensive line isn't doing good, so we're stacking more people for them to block instead of coming out with a 3-receiver set and letting Eli decide whether to run or pass out of that, having some weapons out there to use. Also, our tight end play, we've never really had consistent tight end play since we had Jeremy Shockey. We've got a couple passes off to our tight ends, but we don't use them enough in the middle of the field, which is part of the reason why our outside receivers have so much trouble of getting open. All the attention goes to them, and that's where Eli's always going instead of having a threat in the middle of the field to pull the defense in and give them a little help.
And you could also use some help blocking a tight end to help that offensive line as well, protecting the quarterback from time to time.
Definitely, definitely. We and that's the way the Giants love to use their tight ends. But also we bring in a tight end like Myers that doesn't have blocking experience, and we try to turn every tight end into that. You know, we've had good tight end to use as receivers, we've never really got the full potential out of our tight ends, either because of route choices. You know, a lot of our routes with the tight end are going 15 yards down the field before he's even making a move, instead of getting a little 7-yard dump off and, you know, just keep moving the chains. You know, and I know a lot of people have talked about the Giants, you know, the offensive line, and we always end up in third and long. Well, consistently over the years, we've been in third and 3, third and 6, and we've had third and short situations where Eli's going 35 yards down the field. You know, instead of getting the first down and keeping the chains moving, we have a lot of 3-and-outs just because we're not getting the first down even when we're in good position. So some of that has to go back on Eli. Some of that has to go back on the offensive coordinator if we don't have routes that are available to get the ball out of Eli's hand quick, especially when we know he's not mobile and we have offensive blocking issues that we've had for years. You know, so there's, like you said, sometimes change is needed, and a lot of it seems like our offense has been broken. Even though we've had success over the years, we've been very fortunate. You know, there's, look at the year, the last year that we went to the Super Bowl. A lot of those, you could say, oh, Eli had, you know, his best year as far as comebacks. But, yeah, almost every game we had to make a comeback in third and fourth quarter. You know, it's, I can give you an example of formations that we come out in the game on break down a quarter, and I can give you those stats for one game and not tell you what game it is, and you probably wouldn't be able to guess what game it is because that's the same thing that we've been doing for years.
Well, Anthony, and I think you hit it on the head, and thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. I think that's why, as you know, Michael Eisen talked about and I talked about, John Mara, when he talked at his postseason press conference, wants a legitimate change on the offense because of things like that, because teams have seen this Giants offense with this personnel and system on the field for so long that sometimes change is a good thing. And I totally understand where they're coming from with that, which is why I would bring in somebody to bring a different voice to add a different touch to this system that's been here before. That's what I would do. 201-939-4513. And you're right, too. As bad as the offensive line was, the weapons outside didn't help either, whether it was the tight end or the wide receivers playing outside, not including Victor Cruz now. I'm talking Randall and Nix and those guys. It has to get better. 201-939-4513. Marcus is in Philadelphia. Marcus, what's up, bud?
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, man?
I'm all right. I actually called just for one comment, but I have, you know, three, and if I could just hit each one. My first one is I heard you say something earlier that really, really was on point, and that's I believe we need to hit our offensive line through free agency. We need to go out, get some veterans on that offensive line, and get like a big nasty right tackle to, and put Pugh at guard because Pugh has, he has that it factor. He showed it all last season or this past season. He has that it factor, and I think if he moved into guard, he could be a perennial all-pro like a Logan Mankins or Chris Snead at guard. And I think if we can just go out and hit that offensive line with veterans, it would be great. I think the draft, in my opinion, should be used with building talent. I know through the last couple of years, Jerry Reese has always been a we'll draft the best guy available or the most talented guy that's sitting on the board. And sometimes it worked with Jason Pierre-Paul, and Prince Amukamara fell to us, and that was a great pick. But you look at the David Wilsons and the Kenny Phillips and the Aaron Rawlinsons, and they were the best guys on the board, but they're not with our team anymore. So I think if there's like a number one, a two or three rated offensive tackle that's sitting there, but you got a number one rated defensive tackle sitting there, we need to go after the players that we need for our team. Like David Wilson, we drafted him, and hopefully, you know, he, you know, everything works out well with him and his health, you know, it gets better.
Well, Marcus, I'll say this. I think when you're looking to draft an offensive lineman, if you find you get to a spot in the first round and you say, all right, well, we have a tackle here that we love. We think he's a lot better than everyone else on the board. You know, what are we going to do? I think that's when you consider moving Pugh. I would have moved Pugh for the sake of moving him. But if you see a tackle there and you're like, wow, this guy's a great player and he fits what we want to do, then I think you take advantage of Pugh's versatility. But I would not look to move him because I think he showed the last 10 games of the year that he can be a Pro Bowl caliber right tackle someday in this league. You know what I mean?
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. I was just using that example as, I mean, I just used the offensive lineman. I didn't mean specifically an offensive lineman. Any position, because right now we can use a lot of different things, and I just threw the offensive line out there. I mean, any position that is pretty much what I'm saying. But I agree with you. If Pugh can stay out there at tackle, I think he did an awesome, awesome job out there at tackle. And I would love for him, honestly, to play anywhere on the line. Cause I think he'll be great anywhere. But my second point is I looked at I heard a caller yesterday. I called him yesterday, and it was a caller that called in, and he really said something that made me actually think later on yesterday afternoon, and that was the option routes that the receivers run. You look at last season, I think Eli's numbers, the interception numbers, and this is my own opinion, but they were high because you look at the offseason, Hakeem Nicks was pretty much hurt during the spring training. Victor Cruz went through the whole thing with his contract during the spring training. With the NFL collective bargaining agreement, it really cut down on the practices that they can have anyway. And then you look at the time that they had to practice that they did, and these guys weren't there. it showed in the preseason, and it carried over into the regular season. And you would see Eli Manning throw the ball deep, and you would see the receivers on comeback routes. Or he would throw it short, and the receivers would be running down the field.
The one argument you have with that, Marcus, is that most of those miscommunications, in my opinion, and you saw Akeem Nicks do it once or twice, but the majority of those miscommunications came between Eli and Reuben Randall, the one guy who actually was here through all the OTAs in the spring.
That's true. You are right about that. You are right about that. But the thing that the caller did say is, do you think, and I have one more comment after this, and I'll listen to your answer off the air, but do you think, one, that maybe the new offensive coordinator, whoever it is, will go to a system where the receiver runs this route, and this route. Eli Manning knows what this receiver is, that receiver is. It's not a thing where, well, I hope he saw the cornerback shift, or I hope he saw the safety, you know, come down into the box and drop back. I hope he saw what I saw. They go where they need to go at, and the ball is released. That's my first question. And my second one is, my third one actually is, a running back, I heard somebody say Rashard Jennings, and there are a couple other running backs out there. There's a guy that I think that we should look at. He's had a history of injuries, but I think he would come home, and that's Amon Bradshaw. I know he's hurt a lot. I know that. But I'm just saying more or less as a veteran leader, somebody that could touch the gap ball maybe 10, 12 times a game. I can't imagine him going back to the Colts with them giving up a number one pick for Trent Richardson, and I think he'll probably be overlooked by a lot of other teams. What do you think about him possibly coming home?
I want somebody, Marcus, I appreciate the call. Thanks so much, as always, my friend. I bring in somebody, and sorry for interrupting you there at the very last second. I want somebody in here that I can depend on and I can rely upon. That's what I want. That's what I want. I'm not bringing in somebody that's going to be hurt for half a season. I already have that Andre Brown. I have David Wilson coming off neck surgery. They brought in Jacobs with that chronically bad knee. Hillis had an injury history before he got here, too. I want somebody that you never know somebody's going to play 16 games, but I want somebody that's proven they can play 16 games. And that's what I'm looking for. As for those option routes, folks, remember this. It's not just the Giants that throw interceptions because the quarterbacks and wide receivers aren't on the same page. The Cowboys did it against the Giants in week number one with Terrence Williams, when Ryan Mundy got that interception. So it's not like if you change offensive systems, the quote-unquote not-on-the-same-page interceptions are going to stop. Now, might they be reduced a little bit? Sure, because they don't have that whole option route concept. Though, again, every team has some of those option routes. For example, if you're watching that win in your in-game for the Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles in Week 17, on that interception to Cole Beasley that Tony Romo threw, not the one over the middle, the one on the sideline where Beasley ran the out route. Beasley saw the corner sitting down, so he sat down. Romo thought he would continue to go to the sideline, and he threw it outside and ended up getting picked off outside by actually, I take it back. That was the Green Bay Packer game. That was Tremont Williams. That wasn't the last game as the Eagles. That was the Cowboy Packer game where Tremont Williams had the interception on the outside. And that's an option read between the receiver and quarterback. It's a different offensive system. So you're still going to have things like that depending on what system you run. They're not going to go away completely. They're still going to be there, but you hope they might be reduced a little bit. The bottom line is that you have to have smart wide receivers being on the same page with the quarterback. And I don't think, quite frankly, Randall's proven he can be that guy yet. That's something he has to work on in the offseason. Two more calls before we say goodbye. 201-939-4513. We're going to go Charlie up in Portland, Maine. Charlie, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how you doing? Good. Things are good. Things are warming up, thank God.
Great, Charlie.
Hey, I have a problem. I think the only person that should have been fired is Jerry Reese. I think he did a terrible job with the roster this year. I don't trust him next year getting the people that we really need and keeping the people that we really need. Joseph, we need to keep him. He's helped us with a – I think we got a championship defense if they keep a lot of the people that we already have and add just a couple of maybe a linebacker or something like that, keep Beeson.
Well, Charlie, but, obviously, as you know, Jerry Reese isn't going anywhere this year, but I think John Mara did, to a certain extent, put him on notice in the postseason press conference when he said we have to do better with our draft pick. So I think the notice has been put out there, though he also expressed a lot of confidence in Jerry Reese in that same press conference. So
I don't have as much confidence, but I think we should bring Jake Ballard back. The Bleacher Report, I was reading that the other day. They were saying the same thing. We need a tight end.
He has to be healthy, though. He's got to be healthy.
Well, he played for Arizona. He caught a touchdown in the last game. He's getting healthy. You'll probably get him on the cheap. Bring him back. Great chemistry with Eli. He's 6'5". We need a 6'5 tight end because Eli throws a high ball over the middle, and if we have somebody like Myers who is 6'1", it's an interception 90% of the time. So you got to bring people like him back, and I think he would work really well. And the other thing, on the offensive coordinator, I mean, there's one person I don't understand why was never given another chance to coach a team or a GM or an offensive coordinator was Jim Fossil. The guy had Peyton under him. He had Fox under him. He had, you know, he was a great coach. And to me, I would bring him in as an offensive coordinator for the Giants. He's a great offensive-minded coach. I think he could bring some stability, and if Coughlin leaves in a couple of years, who knows? I think he would be a great coach again. I know I'm picking somebody from the past, but I don't understand why that guy hasn't had a chance in this league when they're always retooling all these same people over and over again.
Well, Charlie, I can tell you why, and it doesn't have as much to do with football as it has to do with extracurricular stuff off the field. He has a bad reputation around the league that at the end of his coaching career, he did not take football seriously enough, and he got wrapped up in too much off-the-field stuff, and his focus, quite frankly, on the game waned a little bit. And that's one of the big reasons he hasn't gotten another job in this league.
Ah, okay. So it's so they're not going to give him a chance because of that? I mean, he's been on NFL TV, you know, and he's been, you know, I think he's great. I mean, he makes a lot of sense. He's smart. And hopefully, you know, maybe this is a renaissance for him, and maybe people might forgive him. They forgive everybody else and give this guy a shot because I think he's a great coach. And I think him coming back to the Giants organization, you know, with a changed attitude, I think it could be helpful. But I don't know. I don't know those things that you just talked about. And I think probably part of that is true, and probably part of it is a lot of hype, as usual. But.
Charlie, thanks for the call, my friend.
Okay.
Good to hear from you, buddy. I haven't heard from Charlie since the regular season ended. Good to hear from Charlie. Now, Lance Meadows not here. His favorite caller, their favorite host, the little tag team to go back and forth, but that's okay. Lance sends his regards. I'm very disappointed to have a chance to talk to his guy, Charlie. Final call of the show is Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, you can close this one out for us, bud. What's going on?
Good callers today. I always liked Facile, and one day, to my surprise, I clicked. It was whatever football league, and I said, well, I'll check it out. And I click on, and I see Facile on the sidelines. Then they cut to the other sideline, and Dennis Green is on the other sideline.
Yep.
And they were playing in that championship game, and Facile's team beat Denny Green's, just reminiscent of the NFC championship game. So I was, you know, surprised, and I was happy Facile's guys won. And then they cut to the sideline reporter, and it's Cordell Stewart slash from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the camera zooms out, and you see who he's interviewing. He's interviewing Denzel Washington. And I was like, wow, it's a star-studded day. But Denzel Washington's son was one of the running backs on Facile's team. And Facile, I think, won at least 3 championships in that league in a row.
Yep.
But I haven't followed it in a few years.
No, he actually had a lot of success as a head coach in the USFL. That's correct.
Yep, 3 in a row, and he built the franchises. And I think he would be an excellent coordinator. But about the future, it's if you think Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Philip Rivers, it's kind of a fluke thing because all those quarterbacks went to good teams, and they were picked first. Usually when you're a quarterback, you're the best quarterback, you go to one of the worst teams. And also coaches, usually you fire the coach and you go to a shaky organization usually. So that's why I think Gruden should be the coordinator because he could be waiting, you know, the head coach in waiting. He could be the coordinator for 2 years or 3 years or even 1 year if they win the Super Bowl next year and Coughlin retires, which would be a great way to go out. So you would say, oh, well, why would Gruden, he's the hot coach, why would he want to be a coordinator? His brothers, his younger brothers, a head coach. But his younger brothers going to a shaky owner, a shaky organization, like Belichick had told Mangini, you know, he's proud of him, he wishes him well when he left New England, but just don't go to the Jets. He said any team, and then it, you know, it fell through with the Jets. So my point is that Coughlin is a great coach, possibly a Hall of Fame coach, and the Giants are known as a great organization, a stable organization, and this way Gruden could come in, install his offense. He has an established Super Bowl MVP, two-time quarterback.
Yeah, but why would John Gruden ever take an offensive coordinator spot when he has head coaching jobs lined up with good franchises in the National Football League left and right? He'll get paid less as a coordinator here than he's getting paid by ESPN. Andrew, I appreciate your optimism, but unfortunately, sure. I think it's unrealistic.
One last word on that.
Sure.
Because he's going to get paid as a head coach. When Coughlin retires, he would be a head coach. And, like, my point is that
here's the other issue, too. John Gruden wants personnel powers, and he's not going to get personnel powers here with the Giants. That's just not
going to happen. I would give him quarterback in the future. In a few years, they could draft a quarterback. He could play behind Eli for a couple years. So that would be a great scenario. And Gruden, like I said, he has a choice to go to a shaky organization or he could go to a premier organization. So I guess you're right. Like, he wants the personnel powers. But I would give him the ability to pick a quarterback for the future. So you have a great quarterback, then you could pick the top quarterback in 3 or 4 years. They could pick another quarterback. So I would just think if I was Gruden, I would want to go to a place where I could have a good organization instead of the Redskins or one of those, you know, like the Eagles seem shaky. But I guess you're right. He wants power, but I would much rather wait 2 years, install my offense, work with Manning and Cruz and whoever, David Wilson, and, you know, build your offense. And Coughlin, hopefully he'll go out on a high note, and then you take over as head coach, and then a couple of years you draft your quarterback.
Andrew,
you know, it
thanks
just seems like tailor-made.
I appreciate it, bud.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call, man. Cool. See, to me, I always picture John Gruden looking at a couple of different teams. I always see him as a fit in Dallas to replace Jason Garrett. He'll have a quarterback down there in Romo. Jerry Jones, as a general manager, will give him a lot of input, I think, in personnel the same way he did with Parcells. I see that as a fit. Another job I bet he's keeping an eye on is Mike Smith in Atlanta. If they make a move there, he sees Matt Ryan in place, a veteran quarterback. That's another place I could see him trying to get to at some point if they end up making a move with Mike Smith, who kept his job this year. I guess they're giving a pass because of all those injuries. What other good spots could I see for him down the road based on having a quarterback in place? I mean, I'm not sure what he thinks of Sam Bradford. I mean, St. Louis, but Jeff Fisher's not going anywhere with that job anytime soon. The AFC West is pretty much spoken for. Yeah, I mean, I think those are the two jobs he'll keep an eye on right now, to be honest with you. He's only going to come out of that ESPN broadcast job with a perfect head coaching opportunity, and I mean perfect. He's going to pick and choose his spots. Because he's not old yet. He can wait a couple more years and still be in the prime of his coaching career and pick a really good spot to be head coach right away. And I think that Atlanta spot could be good. I don't think he wanted to deal with the ownership situation in Washington, and I don't think Daniel Snyder wanted a very strong-willed head coach. That's why he went with the Jay Gruden of the world instead of the John Gruden of the world. I think those are two good spots. Just rolling through the other teams in this league in my head, I don't know if anything else really sticks out to me as a possibility, to be quite honest with you. But it's interesting. Everybody, I answered some of your questions on Twitter over the course of the show. Excellent work. The callers, you carried me through today going solo. I appreciate it. Great job, great points, great conversation. Thank you to Michael Eisen. Lance Meadow will be back with us on Monday. Enjoy your weekend football, everybody. I'll give you my picks very quickly before we say goodbye. 49ers, Seahawks, Colts in an upset, Broncos. How about that? Though I could see the Patriots winning and the Chargers winning. I think if you're going to flop them, I think that's how you would flop them. And I think Niners and Panthers are almost a coin flip. But I'll go with the experience of the 49ers winning in that particular game. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your playoff football. We'll see you on Monday on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Have a good one.